Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff here.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk Rumble. Now and live.
Hello and welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast. I am Luke Owen and this week I'm joined by Muscle Man Malcolm. How are you doing, bud?
I'm doing swell. How are you?
I'm hot, man. I'm not going to lie to you. I don't like people talking about how hot they are on podcasts, but boy, howdy, am I a sweaty mess at the moment. And I've got two more podcasts I need to record tonight. But I'm doing fine, man. How are things over in DC?
Just hectic, you know, just political stuff. You know, everyone has their opinions on things going on in the world. So interesting is the best word. Unique is probably another word to use.
Right, well, let's dive into the main bulk of the show itself. We're going to be talking about Raw Underground, because what else can we talk about in this crazy week of wrestling? Here is the show. So, if you didn't see Raw this week, you must have heard about this. If you didn't see Raw this week, they were building this thing up. Shane McMahon has come back and he's got this new exciting thing that he's going to be doing, right? And the exciting thing that he's doing is Fight Club. He's got this underground Fight Club that he has got that he's hosting. There's dancing ladies. It's got this sort of like porn music that's kind of playing underneath and it's shoot fights. Like Babatunde was there, Eric from the Viking Raiders had a match, Dolph Ziggler had a match. At the end of it, the Hurt Business came in and they sort of like beat up a load of people. And it's a lot of it. We got so it was one of the busiest Raw episodes we've had in a while in terms of like user engagement, like people being like, what the hell was it? A and B, like, what can you do next with it? So, first off, what did you make of Raw Underground?
Oh, Raw Underground, I mean, it was kind of like a Fight Club, honestly, but it was like missing something. I don't know exactly what it was, but like I guess the idea of having it have like 3 minutes of airtime, then kind of back to normal Raw, and then 3 minutes of airtime, then back to Raw, kind of like took me out of it. So like the last hour or 30 minutes was just Raw Underground, I probably would have loved it a lot more. But I'm excited to see what happens next. So like with Lashley and MVP and everyone being there, I think it's a lot more interesting because everyone there has more of a real fight background, because like MVP trains MMA, Shelton Benjamin, he just looks like he can kick someone's butt. And then Lashley, I mean, he was in Bellator, so you know, it's very obvious that these guys know what they're doing when it comes to a real life fight.
Yeah, because Shelton's a collegiate athlete, right? He's like collegiate wrestler. It was amazing when the Hurt Business came in and like beat up all those dudes. It looked really, really cool, right? Like they sort of stand there like, we run this place now. All underdone by Shane McMahon coming up, be like, hey, it's like, it's cool, right? I did an extra podcast bit with Laurie for the Fight Network show that we've got here in the UK, and he said this. It felt like a rich kid's birthday party. Like his dad said, you can have whatever you want, and he said, Dad, I want an underground fight club, and that's what it was.
That's very accurate.
It really, it just,
Yeah, because it was like, it was really uncool with Shane McMahon there, and like the dancing girls made it feel very like caught. Like, oh man, I felt mad. And I was like, I hope my wife doesn't come in to see me watch this. Yeah. How do you even explain this away? But like, we've had a lot of people ask, you know, what could be next for it? I think this is going to be a very short-lived thing. Like, this is Corey Graves' electric chair. This is Mick Foley's darker third hour. Like, it's going away in 2 weeks' time. But what would you like to see next from Raw Underground?
I feel like Raw Underground should be like a new version of like how Hell in a Cell was treated back in the day, when it was treated for like just like those really big fight feels, and not like its own little separate pay-per-view. So, like, whenever there's, like, a real fight and these guys are, like, there's not wrestling, it's a fight now, they should take it to Raw Underground. So, like, whenever you see those matches, like, oh, this is personal, fella, we're going to make this real, go to Raw Underground. Don't have, like, a one-on-one match with headlocks and wrestles.
That's a fast... Do you know what? I didn't even think of that, but that's a brilliant idea, is that it, rather than it is like this sort of, like, separate promotion that's sort of run in, like, the garage of the Performance Center, it's a match type. So yeah. like I challenge you, I'll see you in Underground. Like, that is for me is way better, because it also takes away the issues you've got with like, well, this stuff over here is real, but this stuff over here is fake. Like, it kind of works that way.
Yeah, because like, it's kind of weird, because like, WWE's still in like a PG era, so like, there's only so much you can do in a real fight that it's not gonna look PG. Because like, if you're really fighting someone, I don't know how many fights you've been in your life, but like in general. Maybe a couple. Maybe you and Ollie.
I've thrown some fists.
Well, 1-2. Okay, I see that. But like, in a real life fight feel, I'm not worried about doing a suplex. I'm worried about getting my ground. Like, it's just not a part of my repertoire. It's like, oh, let me put in a chin lock just to make sure that I really work on his neck and stuff. Like, no, get him to the ground, do what you got to do. So like, if you're going to have it, it should really be more like a match stipulation rather than a whole hour maybe. Of just like fighting, because like, there's only but so much you can do in an hour. There's only but so many wrestlers you have that could be on just Raw and Raw Underground. Because like, not everyone on the roster feels like, you know, they're a fighter. They're more of like they're an entertainer. Like, I'm not gonna see Bayley fight Shayna for real and think that Bayley can actually win. It's just impossible. Mm-hmm. Like, the Shayna can kill someone.
yeah, legit. Like, and I said this on the Raw podcast as well, but I could actually, I wouldn't mind them using Raw Underground as a way to debut this new group, Retribution, I think that their name is, they're called now. So like, you know, you run this for a couple of weeks with Shane doing his uncool stuff, and Retribution just come in and just like tear the whole thing apart, and just like, you know, they shut it down, and that's the way that you debut this group. And then like, you know, Raw Underground never sort of comes back in, unless, as you say, they use it as a match type. Yeah. I could kind of see them using that as like, you know, almost like the Nexus debut, where they just came in and just destroyed the Raw set, and it was like a really impactful debut. Like, I feel like that could might be a good way to use it as well.
Definitely. Like, it just depends on who's actually in that stable, because like, if you pull some guys from NXT, like I can't think, like if Cameron Grimes was a part of Retribution and then now he's on Raw Underground actually fighting, I'm not gonna take that seriously, because he comes out with a funny hat and, you know, just talks like, I can't take that seriously. But if it's like Dijak comes out there, I'm like, oh, he looks legit, I'm kind of scared of him. That makes sense while it's on Raw Underground. So it really just depends on who's in the group and their motives. Because like, if it's just some like silly dudes from NXT, it ain't gonna work. If it's some silly dudes from Evolve, like if I see Leon Ruff, as much as I love the guy, I can't take him seriously. He's a little small to begin there with like Baba Tunde. Like, I can't take him seriously.
I mean, Spence, you've sold me on this. I want to see Raw Underground become, so it's not just like, it's not a part of Raw. It's not this sort of weird offshoot thing. It just becomes like it's a match stipulation that you build, and you can really build this like huge aura around it, because it is like, it's kind of half shot well and half shot not, because like, it's shot cool. Like, it's got the really cool lighting and everything. But like, with the Kevin Dunn camera cuts and stuff, like Mike Sempervivi went through, and it was like, it was a cut every 1.5 seconds, basically, which is just, it's nonsense. It's a terrible way to shoot a product.
Yeah, it was like 4 different cuts when like Lashley was like gun-wrenching suplexing the guy, or gun-wrench powerbomb. It was like cut. I'm like, I don't know where I'm looking anymore. It's like, one shot. Like, if this is a real feel, just make one shot. Maybe even shake the camera a little bit to get some more like realism to it. I just need maybe 1 to 2 shots, maybe 3 if it's good enough, but 2 is the max when it comes to something that's supposed to be taken as very legit.
Yeah, you've sold me on this. I want it as a match type without Shane McMahon.
Yeah.
Because if I can't have Shane McMahon being like just sweating around there, you know, and I know because I'm sweating right now. You don't need a sweaty man being there going like, yeah, I know, right? I saw the headband. I was like, man, what a smart guy. And I was like, I don't need Shane McMahon being around going like, hit him, big man, you're a big man, hit him, big man. I was like, shut up, dude.
Yeah, I don't know. If it doesn't result in Shane getting in there and fighting with someone, if someone beats up Shane, then like his point of being there is a little sad. Cause like eventually it's gonna get to a point where it's like Lucha Underground, but with more camera shots. Like that's what it kind of feels like with like Shane running around and talking. So like if he gets in there and fights and maybe gets beat up by somebody that takes over Raw Underground, like MVP, maybe. Cause like I mean he's almost like legit talker there. So if Shane can like get out some way before he's in there too long, people start to hate it, then after that he gotta go.
Yeah. And like, there are certain characters that I don't, we've got one of our mailbag questions. I can't remember who it's from, but I won't name check you later. Said like, you know, I'd like to see The Fiend and Braun Strowman in there. But like, I'm like you, there's certain characters that I don't think almost like don't work. Like, I don't want to see The Fiend in Raw Underground. Like it doesn't, I guess half of me sort of does really, but like, it doesn't really feel like it fits. Like, I don't want to see The Undertaker in there either. But like, Dijak, absolutely, I want to see him in there. Shayna Baszler, absolutely, I want to see them in there. But there are certain characters I don't really want to see in Raw Underground, unless it's like, because you mentioned Bayley, right?
Yeah.
Like, Bayley's funny if she goes in there and hates it. Like, she doesn't want to be there, then it works. But if Bayley goes in there with, like, you know, her fist taped, I'd be like, I'm a badass now. It's like, no, you're not, mate.
Yeah, that would have been at all. Like, it just depends on like who's in there, honestly. Like, even if like you pull some guys from SmackDown, which I know would be kind of weird for the whole rosters and stuff, but someone like Matt Riddle, that's made for him. And I know he's talked about it on Twitter too, because it was like, I think he mentioned it being like a Josh Barnett like ripoff of like GCW.
Oh yeah, it's Bloodsport. Yeah.
Yeah, it's basically that. So like if you pull some guys from like SmackDown that would look legit in it, then sure. But like more gimmicky guys, like if No Way Jose was still in WWE and I saw him wear some jeans with taped up fists at Raw Underground, I'm going to turn the television off. I'm going to watch them. I can't take that.
I'm only going to play this for you because as an American, I would imagine that you don't really know much about Alan Partridge. But when I saw the Dancing Girls, there's a scene from Alan Partridge, and it's all I could think of, which was the...
Would you like me to lap dance for you?
That is all I could think of.
That is Raw Underground. A little more fighting and it's Raw. Easily.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. and UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit UH1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Lockdown has been hard on lots of people, but it's also been tough on, well, you know,
my big hairy balls, Luke.
Yes, your big hairy balls, Ollie.
So let's thank today's sponsor, Manscaped, for providing the best materials to give you the best manscaping experience possible. This could be the greatest ball shaving of all time.
Hygiene is super important in this, the new now. And the Perfect Package Essentials Kit by Manscaped comes with everything you need. High-performance USB rechargeable body trimmers with its advanced skin-safe technology, which is far more impressive than WWE's AR nonsense at their pay-per-views.
But it's not just your big hairy balls that need sorting out. You also need to look at your big hairy nails, or your long hairy nails, or your big long nails.
Along with the Perfect Package Kit, you should also order the Shears 2.0, a newly improved luxury 4-piece nail kit with stainless steel slashed tipped tweezers, round point scissors, fingernail clippers, and a medium grit nail file.
Enroll in the Peak Hygiene Plan for quarterly replenishments of your favorite products and get 20% off your order using the code WTTV.
There's even free international shipping to the US, Canada, Australia, and old blighty United Kingdom. So get 20% off your order at manscaped.com using the promo code WTTB.
That's manscaped.com with the code WTTB for 20% off your order. Your neat and tidy balls will thank you.
Well, let's get into the Patreon mailbag. If you want to submit a question to the mailbag, all you've got to do is become one of our awesome pledge hammers on Patreon at any dollar or amount and leave a question in the community tab. Do not email me. I will just lose it. I'm bad at my job. This first question comes in from Abhiram, who says, I've been really stressed out this past month. Watching and listening to WrestleTalk, Parts of Unknown, and by extension, Fightful and Denise Salcedo has been helping me a lot. Not to put you on the spot, but do you guys have any advice to avoid getting stressed?
Want me to answer it first or you?
Go for it, man. Yeah, go for it.
Stress. I like to lift weights. I like to exercise. That's kind of my thing. I'm a power lifter. So go running. Get a jump rope. Actually, I was talking to Leo Rush the other day, which is a really random thing to say. But I'm trying to
I just pick up that name you dropped.
Boom, right there. Well, I'm trying to be a wrestler. So I asked him, like, what's the best way to get in conditioning and whatnot? Because, like, we're kind of close. So he told me, like, just get a jump rope and just start going for it. Because, like, one, it relieves all your stress because your mind is so focused on, like, the exercise and sweating and just being out of breath that everything else will kind of push itself to the side if you want it to or if you don't want it to. And, I mean, just in general, just, you know, watch some wrestling. Watch some Netflix, Hulu.
It seems like a really cheap answer to say, like, you need to sort of find what kind of makes you happy. And like you said in there that like watching and listening to our podcasts has kind of like helped you feel a bit better. So like find some other podcasts that like find some other YouTube channels that you really enjoy watching and use that as your way to kind of like unwind. Like my way to sort of de-stress myself is like, I will go for a walk and I will listen to a podcast. Like I've got a set number of podcasts that I listen to: Talking Simpsons, Cinematic Universe, RIP Seb Patrick. There's like a bunch of podcasts that I listen to that are just like, this is my way to sort of escape into my own little world. Cooking's another one for me. I love to cook.
That's a great one.
Like that, which can sometimes be as stressful if it doesn't go the way that I want it to. I was trying to peel a potato yesterday and I cut myself doing it and I was really annoyed. Anyway, Flaming Clive said, if you had to switch one main eventer and one jobber to the other role from The Ruthless Aggression, who would it be? So, like, you know, the main event becomes the jobber and vice versa. Huh. But, okay, from Ruthless Aggression, that's harder.
Yeah, like, I can't even think of jobbers from then.
Yeah, exactly, right? Yeah. That's what I was trying to think of. Like, who was a famous jobber in the Ruthless Aggression era?
Considered a jobber? Like, I don't know if he's really he's kind of a big part.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's a cruiserweight champion. He had that stuff with The Rock. hey, Roderick Strong was a jobber for an episode of SmackDown in that match against Kurt Angle. So maybe him. Like, I think now might be an easier time to pick because I think they've got more jobbers on there. Like Ricochet, I feel like he feels like a bit of a jobber at the moment, and 100% should be in the main event.
Oh my God, they did Ricochet so dirty. They did so dirty. Oh my God. It's so sad. This dude was facing Brock, lost, and then just became irrelevant and lost to Riddick Moss. I was at the arena when he lost to Riddick Moss. I cried a little. How do you lose to who's Riddick Moss? No.
Was that like, was that kind of feeling like throughout? Because like, I mean, when we watched that show, I was like, I was dumbfounded that Ricochet got beat by Riddick Moss. But was like that like felt throughout the building?
In my section, at least, we're all like, well, what else is there to watch now? Like, that's one of the guys we came to watch. And he lost to Riddick Moss. Who's Riddick Moss? I can't take the rest of the show seriously. I'm not excited to see Rollins. I'm not excited to see Styles. I wanted to see Ricochet, and he lost to Riddick Moss.
So taking the other side of it, is there any like main events you'd like to see in sort of like an enhancement talent position?
Main event. I mean, maybe like a veteran guy, maybe like a Mysterio or something, because there's so many guys on like that lower end of the card that need that one big match to kind of get them over. So if Mysterio became like a main eventer that jobbed to a bunch of, you know, younger guys, then sure. But as terms of like actual main eventer, WWE still needs to build up stars. So I wouldn't want to take anyone like McIntyre and then make them on like main event. Like, I can't do that to them. So like a veteran guy, definitely.
Actually, I mean, we found our answer there because McIntyre was a jobber guy like during the Ruthless Aggression Into the Cena era and is now a main eventer.
Yeah, there he is.
Irakli says, if Drew retains at SummerSlam, who should he face next?
You already faced Rollins. Dominic Mysterio.
Oh, man. You want to really push Dom straight up into that? Yeah. Like, I mean, it's certainly a heck of a way to push the kid, I guess. Yeah.
Go for it. Make it happen.
I'd like to see Owens like step back up into the WWE Championship picture, right?
Yeah. I mean, like, if him as a heel, maybe, because McIntyre is like, you know, he's not like a super baby face, but he's also not like a tweener. So like, I feel like a face Owens would it feel all authentic against a McIntyre, because like face Owens is kind of like a softie, but like heel Owens, he doesn't care about anything. So a heel Owens, yes. This Owens, I don't know.
And if I can't actually get my...
Actually, I got one. I'm sorry to cut you off. Andrade. Andrade's the man.
Andrade. Yeah. Yes. Andrade's a great shout, absolutely. And if I can't get my Adam Cole Undisputed Era call up, like with them sort of claymoring, you know, laying him out after the SummerSlam goes off the air, or during SummerSlam going off the air, then the other guy that I'm going to pick... Damn, I just had a name then, and it's completely escaped from me.
Dominic Mysterio.
Lashley. Lashley, get back into that picture, man, because he only lost because of Lana. Right? Lana's not there anymore. So Lashley's got like a reason to go back in for that title.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. How do I forget about Lashley? Yeah, definitely. Because like, he's not even doing anything right now, because it's all about MVP right now with the US title. So yeah, Lashley easily.
Callum Man says, hey guys, since the WWE releases in April, we've seen a lot of that release talent sign with Impact and AEW. So it got me thinking, if you could book a 5-match card for an Impact versus AEW show, what matches would you book? Thanks for always your hard work. We really do appreciate it. We kind of had this question a little bit last week because I had the Young Bucks versus the North, I think I had said there, because I'd really like to see that. Because we've kind of seen like Bucks versus Machine Guns, like that's, you know, a dream match that I've already got to see. Callahan versus Moxley is a match I would absolutely love. That'd be great. And Jordan Grace versus Hikaru Shida, I think it'd be wicked.
I didn't think about that one.
Wow. Yeah. FTR versus the Machine Guns, then, if I can't do the Bucks.
That's not bad. I would put like the North against probably FTR, because I feel like their like styles kind of blend together. Because like Josh Alexander is more of a technical guy, and FTR, they're more technical, and like All Ego, he's kind of just out there just yelling and screaming, so it's hilarious. So like that match would feel like, for me, would probably be like the best. And then when it comes to like Eddie Edwards, maybe, because he's like the world champion, maybe an Omega, just because like Edwards has always been really good. He's just never had that top match. I feel like Omega could be the guy that gives it to him. So Edwards, yeah,
that's underrated. That's a really good shout. I was just trying to think of like who Edwards could go up against, but yeah, actually that's a really good shout. Yeah, Omega's a perfect, because I was just thinking then like, man, who would do Omega? Rob Van Dam? No, maybe not Rob Van Dam. Oh, it would be good. Yeah, it'd be pretty good. Dre says, hey guys, thanks for all the content. I was watching some old wrestling and it jogged my mind that I had to be introduced to NXT because I wasn't always interested in going onto the network and watching it. But after Paige beat AJ Lee and not knowing who she was, it caused me to start watching NXT. And since then, it's really the only promotion I watch in full, aside now from AEW as well. Do you remember what initially got you to watch NXT on the network?
His name doesn't get talked about that much anymore because of situations, but Velveteen, just because I'm from DC, he's from DC, so, and he was put on banger matches back then, so Velveteen was like the guy for me personally. So
it was my buddy John, because NXT used to air here on Sky Sports, which I don't have, because Ruben Murdoch's awful, don't buy the Sun. But like, so he used to tell me, he's like, oh man, you got to check out NXT, it's wicked. Then it was the match between Cesaro and Sami Zayn, where he was like, dude, you've got to check this out. This match is awesome. And I went around to his and I watched, and I was like, holy hell, what's this NXT thing? This used to be a rubbish thing. And when I got the network and it started to become a weekly show, that was it. I got the network day one because I used a VPN to get it, because we didn't get it here in the UK. And the first thing I watched was the Invasion pay-per-view again, Halloween Havoc 98. And then I was watching NXT on a weekly basis. And because they were doing their takeover shows, I was just hooked. Absolutely loved it.
I believe that.
Yeah. Alex Storm says, hey, fellas, over the past year or so, I've seen a Wonder Ollie shirt, an El Fakador shirt, now a Dance Chopper shirt, but absolutely zero for resident Sweetie Pie Luke Owen. When is Luke getting a shirt? Why does he keep getting the shaft? I think this could be rectified with a very simple shirt that has two words on it. Ass Meg. Just a thought. Yeah, I've not. Well, it's because, so when we did the relaunch of the merchandise, I went on holiday and I forgot to submit a design. Or like even suggestions for a design. So we were like, well, we'll do you in the next line. And then we never really got around to doing that next line. So now I'm just saying, like, never do me a t-shirt. It just should always be a running joke that I never get a t-shirt.
I think that could work. Like Jericho didn't have a shirt back in like, oh wait, when he was like a heel and stuff. So that could be like your version, but you're like a good guy.
Callum, do you think the Undisputed Era is ever going to get called up to Raw or SmackDown? Personally, I think it should. I think they should, because they have nothing else to do in NXT. But I'm also quite scared that Vince won't understand and it'll just become another failed call-up. I think Adam Cole could take the title off of Drew, but probably not likely. What are your thoughts? Well, Adam Cole is going to be facing Pat McAfee at NXT XXX.
That seems amazing. You're
here for, oh, yeah, you're in for it.
I'm very happy for it.
That's cool, because like the only comments I've really heard from it so far are Adam, who wasn't in for it, and Laurie, who said that he's just going to walk into the ocean rather than watch the match.
No, it seems entertaining. I like it. I like Pat is pretty entertaining. Like when you give him a fair shake on the microphone, like he's annoying, but it's like the type of annoying that I will listen to. It's not like turn off the television annoying. It's like something like, I can get into this. Like, just give me some time. I'm going to like him more.
It was Pat, wasn't it, that on the pre-show for, I can't remember which show it was, it was on one of the pre-shows there. I think it was WrestleMania last year. He wore a suit jacket and shorts.
Yep, that was the guy.
Yeah, that was him, wasn't it? Yeah. I remember watching that being like, what an asshole.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, this guy. I kind of like him, though. He's something about him is different.
But yeah, so do you think Undisputed Era will ever get called up?
Yes, but I think they're going to get put on 205 Live kind of quickly, just because, like, ooh. Adam Cole can probably do well as like a really good Intercontinental champion. I don't see him being, I think he has the quality to be a world champion, don't get me wrong, but I don't feel like they are going to see the quality of him being a world champion. Like Roderick Strong could be a great cruiserweight champion, honestly, but I just don't see them giving him a fair rub at being like a top mid-carder or a top guy in the company. And then the other two, Kyle could be a world champion. I like Kyle.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I mean they've all got like the ability to be world champions. Oh, yeah. Like, I can certainly see like you know Kyle and Roddy, or Kyle and Bobby rather, getting the tag titles. Oh, yeah. I think if I was to get them, call them up, I'd like to see them on SmackDown. I just sort of feel like because you got like, it's becoming this sort of like work rate place, because you've got like Riddle and Gulak and Bryan and Styles kind of Meta League doing all their stuff over there. So I kind of like, I feel like that's a better place for them.
I don't know. I think Raw might be the place, because like they're a lot more character based. They are very good in the ring, but I feel like they're slowly becoming more characters than wrestlers at moments. And like Raw is a lot more character focused than it is wrestling focused. And that's where Adam Cole can shine. because while he's a great wrestler, they might not let him, you know, have those amazing matches that go like 15, 30 minutes. So like if he can get on the microphone and talk and all the other ones can talk with him, I think that's like their best like recipe for success.
Dwayne the Gronk Johnson says, some of the cinematic matches from the No Fans era of wrestling have been fantastic. I've just watched the Firefly Funhouse match for the 200th time, and it's just as great. It's been of the only good things about the No Fans era for me. The natural fan reactions are what make wrestling so enjoyable, and I'm struggling to enjoy the product hearing Performance Center recruits who get belittled by Kevin Dunn to give the reactions that he and McMahon want. This made me want to ask you guys, what do you think have been some of the better aspects of the No Fans era of wrestling aside from cinematic matches? Two words, Bayley and Sasha Banks.
Oh. I'm the biggest Sasha Banks fan in the world. I love Sasha Banks. She's amazing.
Incredible. I've loved, I'm so happy they've been on all three shows. Can't get enough of them. I just think they're so great. Yeah. So yeah, they've generally been one of my favorite parts of No Fans era.
Honestly, my biggest like support of No Fans era has been probably women's wrestling, because like every women's division, I know AEW is kind of slacking at times, but the characters are shown, at least for AEW and the other brands, they're all doing really well. Like, yeah, SmackDown is working on it, but most of the people on Raw, they're doing pretty well. NXT, they're doing amazing, and then Impact also with Deonna Purrazzo. Amazing. She came out of nowhere and became a legend. Like with No Fans, I feel like the people that aren't the biggest women wrestling supporters in the world, or like just don't get it sometimes, they're not there to like kind of sit there and be quiet. The whole arena's already quiet, so they can just work on like their characters and their promos, and maybe there's not like a hesitance to like kind of not say everything you're feeling on the microphone or give all the, like the emotion you want to give.
Yeah. Jobber JJ says, hello everyone, I'm watching The Invasion for the first time and it got me thinking. After this week's horrible Raw and WWE desperate for ratings, this booking all stems back to The Invasion. Let's throw everything. My question is, if WWE booked The Invasion, if you book The Invasion, where do you think WWE would be with viewership? I think that's like if they'd booked The Invasion well, where do you think the WWE would be with viewership? Have a nice day. Hashtag jam that jam. I'll be honest with you, I think still in the same position they're in now.
Yeah, same.
I really think, I don't think much have changed. Like, I think that they would have saved a lot of those fans. But like, I think what we found from the death of WCW and ECW was that there was a bunch of kids that watched wrestling because it was cool, and then wrestling just wasn't cool anymore. So they stopped watching it. That was it.
Yeah, like when WCW died, that kind of was the end of like really popular wrestling. Cause like there's not that competition aspect anymore. And yeah, it's on television and yeah, it's on one brand, but it's just not the same. Like maybe DDP would have been a bigger star at WWE, but that's like the only big one I could think of. Maybe like Booker T also. He probably would have been like, I mean, he still was a world champion, but probably had a multi-time like opportunities to be world champion.
Yeah, like I think the ratings still would have dipped down, because if it's not on the front cover of TV magazines, if they're not like, you know, because like back then they were appearing on TV shows and like they were guest appearances, like they were celebrities, yeah. And I just don't think they're not celebrities anymore. So I don't think anything would have changed. Sadly,
not really.
Dan says, hey guys, can't two people from different households meet in the UK now? Because if so, why not bring back the old murder room for at least Luke and Ollie and Luke's lady friends to enjoy silence for a bit? So basically, this is a question of why aren't we going back into studio, or at least going, because so yes, you can. I mean, the rules here are so messy. People can go back to work if it is like you are able to socially distance, which we can't really do in our office because the studio that we've got is 6 foot wide. So, and we're kind of like within that 6 foot. So we can't really be a foot of like, you know, it's just a bit too close and we haven't got enough like measures in place in the actual office bit. So yeah, I just don't think it's going to be, my wife is going to, unfortunately, just going to have to listen to me shouting and being loud in here. I'm afraid so.
I mean, like, to give kudos to you guys, I'm like, even though you can't go back to your actual office and record, I think it's probably best for like a visual standpoint for like viewers, because it still shows that everyone's still social distancing and not being around each other, regardless if like some rules say you can go back or not. So it probably sets a better example for people that don't want to follow those exact rules all the time.
Oh, yeah. And there's a lot of people here in the UK that don't want to follow those rules. Oh, trust me.
I live in DC. There's plenty of those people too.
What are rules for? Daniel says, first of all, I want to say hey to the whole WrestleTalk gang, and thank you so much for keeping us entertained during all of this craziness. My opinion is that Vince hates pirates, or at least the gimmick anyway. In the time that I've been watching wrestling, I've only seen, to my knowledge, two wrestlers with the pirate gimmick, Paul Burchill, Kairi Sane. Burchill having the gimmick for a year at most before they changed his character, and Sane never reaching the potential of the Pirate Princess could have been. I definitely believe that if done right, they could have, with that gimmick, especially with a more seen a friendly, kid-friendly WWE. I say all I want to ask is it one gimmick that didn't work in wrestling that you thought could have worked given the chance, or at least that you wish could have worked? Thanks again for all the consistent content. Hope you're well. Love, Dan. He's also got a recommendation for me. It's a group called 8-Bit Universe. They take popular and well-known old-school songs and turn them into 8-bit versions of those songs. Hello. I am interested in that. I'm going to check that out. So, yeah. So, Vince hates pirates. Is there a gimmick that you think could have worked out but didn't?
Magician. Ace Austin in TNA or Impact Wrestling. He makes that weird gimmick of like, oh, look, there's a card up my sleeve. Like, actually seem kind of cool. And, like, even though he's a heel and whatnot. So, and like they had that in WWE at one point with I forgot his name completely, honestly.
Like, it was like Phantasmo or something
like that. Like,
it was, yeah, he had like one or two matches, and like he made like the referee's underwear change color or yeah, something. It was very bizarre stuff. 1995.
Yep, what a year. I wasn't even born then. But yeah, probably like a magician, probably the best one.
Yeah, as a gimmick that didn't work out. It was a good gimmick that just did not work out. I mean, Kairi Sane really should have. Man, it's baffling that. Do you know what? Actually, I'm going to say I was a gimmick that I was shocked did not get over was Emma's dancing, because it got so massively over in NXT. I was like, this is going to translate into the main roster. Everyone's going to be doing the dance. Nope, it died a death. Absolutely died a death. And I was shocked. Absolutely shocked it didn't work.
I miss her. She was so amazing.
Oh, she really was, yeah. Freddie says, I know this is a long shot because of the storyline, but how would you feel if The Fiend showed up at Raw Underground? There it is. Freddie was the question. Yeah. I don't know. Not sure on that one. Reese says, hello, Luke, and new WrestleTalk friend. A very simple question, though potentially a negative one. In recent memory, what has been the most disappointing booked ending to a feud, and what could have been your quick fix? Not asking for a fancy booking. My example would be Miz versus Daniel Bryan in 2018. Let them have an actual match instead of a one-minute roll-up for Bryan to win. Keep safe and thank you. Look after yourselves from Reese. Yeah, a feud that booked really badly at the end. Like, it was just a disappointing end to the feud. I mean, like, it wasn't the match, but it's on the same bloody show. The Braun Strowman Roman Reigns Hell in a Cell match, where Brock just came out and the match just stopped, was like, huh, that's disappointing.
It was awkward. I guess mine would probably be Lesnar and Triple H. Like, they had an Extreme Rules match in 2013. It was inside of a cage, and like, Brock won, and that was just it. And I was like, well, okay.
Do you know what, the other one I'm going to say is Buddy Murphy coming off the back of the Roman thing. Like, yeah, because he sort of accidentally found his way into that storyline because he was just in the background of a shot. And like, WWE all of a sudden had something with him. They gave him a match with like Brian and gave him a match with Roman. And then that was it. It was just like, oh, and well, I guess he's done now.
Yeah, actually, I thought of a better one. Probably Mustafa Ali's return back to the main roster after he got injured, and he was cutting all these promos about saying like how he's going to be WWE champion, and you know the name Mustafa's going to like mean something and whatnot. And then they did nothing to it, and like they had like him versus Orton, and Orton beat him, and that was it. So yeah, Everything Mustafa Ali related, he never gets the right like finish to his like feuds. I need more Mustafa, and I need him to do something important because he's so amazing and such a good person.
Absolutely, like he's wicked. Yeah, I mean I was like, he came back, you know, to Raw, and I was like, yeah, Mustafa Ali's back, and then he just lost this week. I'm like, oh god dang it. Al says, Al, so that's one of my favorite Rock promos. It's just Al, a bit of a guy named Al. Hey, first of all, thank you for all the content. It's keeping us sane throughout lockdown. It's super appreciated. With WWE slipping back into what looks like the Attitude Era with Raw Underground, will we see the return of Union Underground and the old Raw theme song across the nation? Al from Nottingham. I would love it, Al, because it's my favorite Raw song. I love that song.
Move to the music, play the fucking music, move into the music, yeah, let's get it on.
It's a banging tune.
I don't know. I was a big fan of that Nickelback theme song. It was interesting. That's what I grew up on. Like, I don't know. Something about it just really got me hyped up. I was like, I'm ready to see John Cena grab whoever the celebrity guest of that week and like beat him up. I'm like, ooh, it's gonna be good.
How did that go again? As going out tonight. To yeah, get yeah, yeah. Da-da-da. That's the one, yeah.
Such a banger. Such a banger.
Marcus Campbell, what are your opinions on WrestleHouse? I've not actually seen it. I've not catched up on this week's Impact.
It's so good. It's like Big Brother House, but instead it's just with wrestlers, and it's so amazing. Like, there's so many guys, like, they'll run over and try to find, like, what room they're going to stay in. Then, like, I think it was Kylie Rae and Susie was trying to find, like, a room, or maybe it was Rosemary. But Johnny Swinger gets in the bed. It's like, who wants to swing with the swing daddy or something? I was like, what? Not Kylie is a good soul. She will not do that. She just, like, runs out, and, like, they have, like, a ring in the backyard, so they're doing, like, backyard matches also. And it's interesting. It's definitely something to watch. Like, they actually threw a shot at No Way Jose at one point because they said, like, oh, you're going to sleep with that person. No way, Jose, or something like that, like one of the Deaners said. And then, like, Tommy Dreamer cuts in and is like, nope, we didn't sign him. And I was like, it's like, Dreamer, don't say that. That's mean.
Oh, bless him. Yeah, I need to check it out. Like, the only thing I've seen from Impact this week was the Rob Van Dam beatdown on Sammy with Katie twerking over his body.
But I loved it.
I laughed uproariously. I thought that the pair of them last week with like Sami Callihan wrecking her photo shoot and like putting his face on, I thought like her selling of it was so great. And like, yeah, Rob Van Dam beating up Sami Callihan while Katie is twerking over the pair of them, it made me laugh so much. It was brilliant.
Wrestling right now, it's the number one. Yeah.
I thought it was wicked. Abnahav says, I've got a long question here. Said, I've seen a lot of debate on to why AEW's women's division is bad. Most of them boil down to a lack of attraction. So I thought, is that the reason? If you look at NXT in the initial days, they didn't have any big names on the brand except for Natalya. They built up the four horsemen along with solid mid-carders in Jax, Bliss, and Carmella. Why does AEW fail to do that? I think I know the answer. While NXT was building its women's division, it was building its men's as well as its tags, and hence it grew as a whole. They had more indie names than for the men's like Balor and Joe, but they were still giving a chance to grow. I wasn't a big indie guy, and hence NXT was a breath of fresh air. With AEW, they have some well-established, well-known names in the men's division, hence the women's division sticks out like a sore thumb. My question is the way to fix this division is to bring in names like Tessa, Taya, Jordan Grace, or to try and cut back on the men's matches and give them time? I also have one more theory. Is AEW trying to pull a WWE by not giving the women's division a chance? And then when they do, it'll be like, we heard you. Okay, so that last point, I think, is really smart. Like, that's really cool that they took it to, like, proper... It's probably like conspiracy theory stuff, like they've done it on purpose. It's like brilliant reverse psychology. I think to your point, like with the NXT women's division, like that taking off was a case of it was the right time. Like wrestling fans were so sick of women's wrestling getting no attention whatsoever on Raw and SmackDown on their pay-per-views. Like it was such a disaster and a joke that NXT just doing something made them go like, oh my God, you're doing something. This is quite lovely. They're not divas anymore. They're women. And it was, even though they were kind of still being called divas and like the title still had jewels on it and stuff, it still looked like very WWE. Yes. But it caught fire. Like the work that the Paige was doing, the work that Summer Rae was doing, and then, as you say, the Four Horsemen doing, it caught fire. So they ran with it. Like, and that kind of then sparked off into the main roster. AEW haven't had that moment yet. Like, they haven't had that thing. And, like, Tony Khan's the stats man. The women, unfortunately, aren't drawing in the ratings, so they don't get the time. But it's a vicious circle, because if you don't put them on TV, then they don't draw the ratings. If you don't give enough time, they don't draw the ratings. And like, so none of it works. I do think getting a name in there might help. Like, if they had signed Sasha Banks, like, if Sasha had left and they'd signed her, then 100% we'd be getting more women's wrestling on AEW. But she didn't, and they didn't, and so they're not. I guess, does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It does. Because, like, yes, they do need that one name. And, like, they do have names. Like, right now, Britt Baker and Big Swole, I love their feud. Like, even though that's the only thing they really show on television, it's, like, my favorite part of watching AEW, to be honest. Like, it's really entertaining in a weird way. Because, like, I want to see Big Swole go on to be a champion. But I'm also interested in, like, how grave a character Britt Baker is doing. So, I'm, like, I'm interested in that. And, like, besides that, there's, like, There's really nothing else. Because, like, Nyla just kind of fell off. I know Chris Statlander got injured, unfortunately. And the women's champion, I don't even know her name, honestly.
Hikaru Shida.
Yeah.
But like, but you know what? Like, we were saying this in the AEW review, like, who's ranked number one in the eight? Like, I don't know who's currently ranked number one. And like, someone sent in a super chat being like, what's Shida's plans for All Out? And I'm like, I have no blues clue, like, of what Shida's doing for All Out. I know that Britt Baker and Big Swole are having a match, but I have no idea what the women's champion is doing. And that's a problem.
Yeah, like, there is something missing. Like, maybe it is the name. Maybe they would need someone like Tessa, or maybe at the time, I wish, like, Deonna Purrazzo had signed there. If I knew that was the gimmick she was going to bring to Impact, she should have signed AEW, because that would have blown up quickly. But, yeah, like, they're missing a name, and then they're missing, like, more character-based people. I feel like characters is what's really going to get AEW over in the women's division, because, like, everyone there is like, oh, I'm pretty and I can wrestle well. Yeah, everyone can wrestle well, but there's not a whole lot of character that's shown. Like, Nyla's doing a good job. Britt's doing a great job. Big Swole, yes. But everyone else, they're getting there. They're just not there yet. Because, like, they're all talented. And I'm sure if they were given the right time that wasn't just on Dark, which a lot of people just unfortunately don't watch, then they would probably have more of an opportunity. So, like, it's down to Tony to give them more of a shot, but it's also down to, like, them having more characters as well. And, like, maybe they need one more person to do that. Because, like, they have some. It's just not being showcased as well as it should be.
Exactly. And I think with, like, the thing that's easy to forget about NXT and their sort of, like, their early days of the women's division and, like, you know, Paige and the horsewomen coming in, is it's easy to forget that it got over because of 15 years of WWE telling people women's, and, you know, 15 years plus, you know, maybe even, like, you could even argue 25, 30 years of them telling the audience, this does not matter.
Yeah.
And people then said, no, do you know what? To me, it does matter. And, like, so that really helped skyrocket that division. Without that fan reaction, I don't think they would have done as much as they did do.
Yeah, and I mean, that's honestly very true. It's just a complicated question, honestly, because there's so many factors into it. It's just, I don't know. Like, maybe they need more people, maybe they don't. It's kind of just up to them. Really, they just need to fix it. Like, I mean, obviously there's an issue, so it's just down to them just making it happen.
And to, like, you know, signing Tessa, Tyra and Jordan Grace, they're with Impact. They're signed with Impact. They've got Impact contracts. And, like, I've spoken to Jordan Grace before, and she was like, you know, I love being in Impact. I like being in Impact's women's division because they really respect women's wrestling. And, like, why would you want to leave that? If you're enjoying working there, you wouldn't want to go.
Yeah, no money's worth it if, like, you really want to be shown on television, which is the goal of all wrestlers, to be shown. So I can't blame her for that.
The Notorious Aliada says, I hope you're doing well, staying safe. Before I get to my main question, I just wanted to ask, if Team WrestleTalk wins the big tag team turmoil at Quizzlemania 2000, does that mean that Ollie wins? And does that mean Adam is going to shave his hair? Come on, Luke, you can do this. I don't think that stipulation is still in play. Mm. I think Ollie Davis has to get a singles win. Also, I don't think we're winning. I'm training him and it's not working. Anyway, today I've got some hot takes on the previous week of wrestling. I enjoyed Raw Underground. It did more good than it did bad. Babu Kunde or Dabu Kato, I think his name is. Eric, Dolph, and her business all looked great and all got different kind of exposure, especially Dolph and Eric, who've got really generic and formulaic over the past year. I know it could be scrapped in 3 weeks, but there's a lot of potential. You could see them setting up Bobby versus Brock and the whole thing, and I think that would be money. The whole Pat McAfee and Adam Cole thing was also A-OK. SummerSlam is usually when you have a celebrity versus wrestler gimmick, so I'm OK with them doing that for TakeOver before SummerSlam. The segment where Adam Cole got punted was red hot. What do you think? Stay safe. Jam that jam. Well, you've said you liked it, man.
I loved it. It was so cool. Who would expect a celebrity to really go and kick his head like a soccer ball? I loved it. I loved it. Like, Adam, like, he's been on top for a minute. It's okay if he kind of, you know, sets himself down a couple pegs and just allows it to happen. Because, like, it's not like he's a celebrity that has no fighting background or physical background. Like, he was in the NFL. So, like, clearly he knows how to be physical. So it's okay to take some punishment from a guy that knows how to give it out and receive it. So if it was Kevin Hart or something, then sure, that's awkward. But it's so it's okay.
And lastly, Alex Kirkman says, yo, are there any old pay-per-views that are gimmick themed that you want resurrecting? Mine is Breaking Point, as I bloody loved it. What was the Breaking Point gimmick?
All submissions.
Oh, was it really?
Yeah, everything.
God, was don't. I do not remember that at all.
2009. It was like DX versus like Legacy and then like Orton. Oh, okay. It was the Undertaker match versus CM Punk where Undertaker didn't tap, but Tay Long said he tapped out and it was a screw job finish. It was that thing.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, it was that one. Right. Okay. Do you know what? I've been actually like, because I had a feeling, so our Patreon poll at the moment for what pay people are going to do for WrestleTalk Extra, it's right. Currently SummerSlam 02, which I'd be very interested to do because you've got the return of Shawn Michaels and you've got the Brock Rock match. Love to do that. But also SummerSlam 2010, legit one of the worst pay-per-views I've ever seen and one of the most damaging pay-per-views I've ever seen with the death of the Nexus before they even got started.
So
but I was kind of... But like, I kind of had a feeling that SummerSlam 2010 was going to do well. So like, while I was editing over the weekend, I was watching the pay-per-view that follows it, Night of Champions. And I was just sort of watching the Wade Barrett kind of like progression. But I was thinking, I was like, man, what do I want to watch? What like random show do I want to fire up? The next time I'm in a situation where I'm editing and I want something in the background, that's what I'm going to look up. Because I totally forgot about Breaking Point.
Yeah, Breaking Point was one of those shows like, if you're not a submission wrestling person, then you're going to hate it. But, like, it was amazing to me. Like, it was pretty dope.
Amazing. Like, I probably remember the name, just not the show itself. But I'm definitely going to check that out. Anyway, so do you think WWE should resurrect bragging rights? I mean, we've got Survivor Series. Survivor Series is my second favorite event behind the Rumble, and I really miss elimination matches with actual storylines. Do you know what, Alex? I used to love Survivor Series as well, but now it means nothing. And it basically just derails stories, and it really annoys me. So, yeah, are there any gimmick-themed pay-per-views you want to see back?
I would get rid of Hell in a Cell, just because I don't like the idea of that stipulation being just another gimmick. I don't like
yes,
that.
Yes, please.
Yeah, get rid of it. Bring back something, though. Oof, I don't even know. I can't even really think of one. I mean, I would say Over the Limit, but that wasn't really like a gimmick pay-per-view. I just like the matches on the shows. They're always just banging. Oh.
I'd kind of like to see them bring back like the Cyber Sunday, like the fan vote thing. Like the fan vote thing always used to like throw things off. But I think like with Twitter being as big as it is and Instagram and things like that, like doing it as a social media poll rather than going to WWE.com and voting, doing them as like Twitter polls and Instagram stuff, I think would be actually, yeah, I think that'd be a really good way to kind of like increase with WWE bloody love social interaction as a way to kind of increase that. I think that'd be, yeah, Cyber Sunday is the answer I'm going to give.
I agree with that.
So, Malcolm, I'm going to ask the standard question. What got you into wrestling?
What got me into wrestling? Okay, so my dad came up to me when I was 8. He said, Malcolm, you want to watch something cool? I was like, yes, I would love to watch something cool. He turned on the television, and it's this giant white dude with an 8-bit hat and 8-bit t-shirt, and his name was John Cena. I was like, I love that guy. Then I saw another really big buff white dude with like his fingers all taped up and long brown hair. His name's Triple H. I was like, he's huge. I love it. And then that's what made me watch wrestling for the rest of time.
Because, like, I mean, you said it in the show itself, but like, you weren't born in '95, so you're a young kid, right?
I am. I just turned 21 like a couple weeks ago.
Oh well, congratulations!
Thank you.
Legal drinking age for you now.
Yes, sir.
So when you were a kid, that means John Cena was your guy, right? Because I found it very interesting. Like as an old man, I have found it sort of very interesting to see, because like I was a teenager. I was in my 20s when John Cena was on top, and like I was that guy on wrestling forums being like, I hate John Cena, he ruins everything, boo boo boo. And you know, I was also that guy. I was like, I didn't like the Star Wars prequel trilogies, so blah, 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 blah. But now, like, all the kids like yourself are now grown up, and they'd be like, do you know what, I loved John Cena. Yeah. I thought John Cena was great. I loved the Star Wars prequels. I always found it like absolutely like fascinating that like, yeah, it sounds so silly to say like you've all grown up and now you've got a voice. But I now feel so old because all those kids that like John Cena and yeah, I love it. I think it's great.
But John Cena's a guy. Like, I know a lot of people hate on him. And like at one point I didn't really like him as much either. Like, I kind of grew out of him, then like started to love him again. But he's interesting. He's not that bad in the ring. As much as people want to give him crap,
right?
Not even that bad. I think he's amazing, honestly. He's probably one of he does not a lot of stuff, but by doing not a lot of stuff, he has some of the best matches in the world.
Dude, he's great. Absolutely, he's great.
Perfect.
Yeah. Like when they first pushed him to the moon, when they first gave him the title, absolutely. He was a bit rough around the edges. He wasn't great, but that dude pulled out some absolutely outstanding matches in his WWE career. Like, the dude's incredible. But I remember, like, we were at a Raw show. Ollie and I were in a Raw show a couple of years ago, and this was at the height of Boo Roman. And, you know, having lived through the Boo Cena stuff, we were in there, and, like, Roman comes out, and this crowd, like, overwhelming, boo, sort of, like, circles around the arena. Two rows in front of us and slightly to the left, there was a kid who must have been about 6 or 7 years old in full Roman Reigns cosplay, who was so excited to see Roman Reigns. And I was like, and that is why he's the top guy. And, like, that is why Roman is the top guy right now.
I hate when that happens. Like, everyone will, like, gang up on one wrestler, and there's, like, that one kid. Because that happened to me. I went to Battleground 2017 with the Hujabi prison match. It was interesting. But, like, everyone like, really hated, like, one wrestler. I don't know who it was. It might have been, like, it probably was Cena. But, like, it was that kid decked out in Cena stuff, just cheering him. So I'm like, I'm going to cheer Cena with that kid. Let's go, Cena! And, like, everyone's just like, why the hell? He's too old to be cheering John Cena. Like, I screw off, bro.
So who else were you a fan of when you were younger?
I mean, Cena was honestly the main guy. Like, once I got into, like, independent wrestling and whatnot, that's, like, when I really built a strong fan base for, like, certain wrestlers. Like, my gimmick on YouTube for the longest was being, like, the number one Rusev fan in the world. So, like, Rusev's always been, like, my main dude, and, like, when he got fired, I made sure to cry a little bit on Instagram just to really get that over. But Leo Rush is definitely, like, my number one guy, because I'm from DC, he's from the same area. I saw him debut on the independent scene in MCW and also get signed to WWE, so I've been there for his whole career, even up to, like, his final match, which was just a couple weeks ago, I think, like 2 weeks mm-hmm. ago against Janela for GCW. So Leo Rush is definitely one of them. Kofi, obviously, representation is amazing, and him winning that WWE title was absolutely outstanding. But yeah, that was my main ones. I didn't have a lot of people outside of Cena I really liked. It was like Cena and then everyone else, and Ryback. I love Ryback.
Hey man, I was a Ryback guy as well. I thought Ryback was great.
I love
Ryback. You talk about representation, which is obviously it's such a huge and it's such an important thing. And I think it's something that, you know, as a middle-aged white guy, I have never really had to ever sort of question or sort of like ask, because I'm represented everywhere. Like, it's and I turn onto any TV show, and I'm like, that guy looks like me. Like, especially now because they're all balding as well. I'm like, that guy really looks like me. But like, you would have been a kid like when Kofi was a mid-carder. So you kind of like, as a kid watching him now growing up and seeing, I must have been like a really awesome like moment, right?
Oh, I was in the arena when he won the title. I was crying. It was amazing. Like, because at that moment in wrestling, growing up, like 2008 is when I really got into it, up until now, you haven't seen that many African-Americans in WWE, at least, that were on top for a long amount of time. Like, yes, we had The Rock back in his day, but for a standpoint for a lot of, like, African-American fans, it's like The Rock never tends to acknowledge his African-American side a lot. He kind of leans more on that Samoan heritage a lot just because of his background, which is fine, but it's just like, it's hard to take him as like one of us type thing if he's not even agreeing to be a part of us sometimes. That's as a character, not as a person. But when it comes to like African-American or black wrestlers, like we had our Booker T's. And yeah, when Mark Henry won the title, we were all crying and screaming. But we never saw anyone hold that WWE championship because the world title was great, but it was kind of like a second tier world title. And like, it's cool that they won it, but I'm like, I'm trying to see someone on top. So when Kobe got to that point, it's like, this is the moment. And it was great because it wasn't just for like, this is for black fans. Like, this was for everyone because he was around for so long, 11 years of a journey, and he was underrated, like legitimately underrated, like a Daniel Bryan. So it was great for like every other person, not just based off like your race or whatever you're into in life, that could all come together. Like, this guy deserves it. And yes, he also represents this culture as well. And it was just an amazing feeling to see him on top because like he deserved it.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I'm still so mad at the company for never really pushing him as world champion. Like, it wound me up every single week watching SmackDown. I was like, he's the third most important thing on this show. Like, he's fallen behind Kevin Owens and Shane McMahon, and he's behind the Roman Reigns storyline. It sucks that he is feuding with mid-carders over this title when he should be feuding with Roman Reigns. He should be feuding with, like, a legit main eventer. And it took them ages to put him in the bloody match with Randy. And then they told the story out of order.
Yeah, and then like then when he lost the title, he didn't even win it in a cool way. He just lost it in 7 seconds. I'm like, what's this? Yep. Like, come on, that's what you're going to do to the first black champ? You're going to make him lose in 7 seconds, bro? Like, all right, cool. thanks a lot, Vince.
And then it comes out for the Rumble to like face up against Brock. Okay, this is the time, right? Now we're gonna get Brock getting his, like, Kofi getting his revenge on Brock. Nope, out you go, mate.
Just treated him like he was nothing. I'm like, come on, man. Like, thank you for Keith Lee for existing. Because, like, now I have faith that there's going to be another African-American that can hold that world title. Like, Lashley is someone I feel like could and should. I don't know if he will. But Keith Lee, I'm 100,000% invested. Like, this guy will be world champion. I can rejoice the same way when I felt like when Kofi won the world title, or Mark Henry, or whoever. Like, I'm very excited for Keith Lee's future. Very excited.
Oh my God, Keith Lee is he's so good. Like, he's so, so great. And genuinely one of the nicest guys I've ever met as well. And like, and to hang out with, like, I name drop the story a lot because I love it so much. And it's a great fond memory of hanging out with him after his match with Tomohiro Ishii, the second match they had in Rev Pro. And it was me, Ollie, and Keith just having a drink and talking about Avengers Infinity War because it had just come out, and just chatting about that for about an hour and a half. It was amazing. I also bought Matt Riddle a drink, and I don't think he thanked me for it. But it was, but yeah, Keith, I've got such high hopes for that guy, and I really think the company's behind him as well. At least I like to think that they are.
Yeah, they look. It seems like they are. So I hope and pray they do not mess him up when he comes to the main roster. Like, save him, bask in his glory. Yeah.
So you've got your own YouTube channel. What made you start a YouTube channel?
I'm not saying this just because I'm on your podcast, but honestly, Wrestle Talk was a big reason. I used to.
Oh, thanks, man.
I was growing up and stuff, but the number one thing at the time was like wrestling figures. I used to watch this guy called DGDX Animation. He would like do all these like weird pick fed and like animating like all these wrestling figures, doing stuff. I was like, okay, I have nothing to do. I just moved to DC. I was 13, had no friends. I'm like, I'll give it a shot. So then I started doing that. I kind of evolved more to a fitness side because I kind of get out of buying wrestling figures 24/7, even though there's like some behind me right now. And then I started doing fitness stuff. And I'm like, all right, this isn't working on YouTube. Back to wrestling. So then I just talk about everything that I enjoy, and it just works out for me because I don't know. I also like to blow smoke up my own butt sometimes. So I'll talk about myself a lot. And I'll make the whole character out of Muscle Man Malcolm. And I built a title that's called the YWO Heavyweight Championship of the World and stuff. And I'll defend it against different wrestling YouTubers. Grimm's Toy Show, I'm sure a lot of people know who he is. I beat him for it one time. Then I'll face like guys like Brandon Hodge and all these other wrestling YouTubers. And it's a way for me who wants to be a wrestler to get myself over, I guess, with like a charisma and attitude and all the kind of stuff that people might like, as well as an ability to just talk about what I love, which is wrestling, which is what everyone loves, is wrestling. So yeah. Just give my idea to like give my opinion on stuff, or, you know, talk about why Rusev is the greatest thing to never be WWE champion in the world. It's just like a fun outlet. And like, you make so many friends, and like the community is so amazing. So many great people.
Yeah. I mean, to peel back the curtain somewhat, I found you because you reached out. Like, you basically sent me a tweet being like, I'm going to shoot my shot. And I was like, okay, you know, I'll click through the link, see what's going on. And I watched the show. I was like, holy hell, this kid is great. Like, he is. I said to Ollie, I was like, man, we are so effed, because basically, like, all these kids are doing way better stuff than we are now. We are going to be so screwed.
I mean, like,
I think your stuff's great. It's amazing, man.
I appreciate that. I'm just saying, if you guys ever need more people on the Wrestle Talk cast. I'm just saying, not my Twitter. I'm gonna shoot my other shot and just kind of leave that out there. Let it stay. You know, we'll see what happens. But now the community is amazing. There's so many just incredible underrated wrestling YouTubers also. Like, people with like 4K subs. I'm like, whoa, they're doing better stuff than me. Now I have almost 20K. Like, oh, they're doing better stuff than Hoo, and they have a million. I'm like, wow. How come more people don't know about some of these underrated people? Because like, building a channel from the ground up is hard. I'm sure you guys know that.
Oh, I mean, man, it's not easy.
Yeah, like, that first 1,000 takes forever. That first 100,000 takes forever. Then after that, it probably just goes a little higher. Like every other year.
I was going to say, to put it into perspective of like how hard it is to grow a channel. Like, when we launched ScreenStalker last year, yeah, like we couldn't get past 20 subs, like 20,000 rather. Like, we couldn't get to that point. It took us like forever to get to that point. And like, as a channel, we got quite, you know, not to brag, but there's a fairly big audience that are watching there. But like, it's really like, and we had that's what I mean. Like, we had a good like launching point. So if you're coming in with nothing, like, I've got so much admiration, respect for anyone who starts a YouTube channel and can like get over 5 subs. Like, if you get over 5, I'm like, that dude's made it. Like, that guy got it.
You know, it's so much work because like, you're like constantly like sending leaks and like or links to Facebook groups. Like, here, wrestling fans on Facebook, watch this video. And maybe one person might watch. Or, like, tweeting it out to, like, wrestlers. Like, hey, retweet this, maybe. And they never do. But it's worth a shot. Or going onto forums and tweeting stuff out. And just, like, commenting under other people's videos, which I know is the most annoying thing in the world. And I hate it when I see it. But I'm like, it works, though. So, like, doing all that kind of stuff is such a hard task. But, like, once you get there, and, like, for me, once I hit 10K subs or 10K, 10,000, what I meant to say, it was, like, the most fulfilling thing in the world. Like, even though it's not a lot, it was sure a lot of work to get there.
Oh, man, it's an I've got so much admiration for you, man. I really have. You said you trained to be a wrestler as well, so tell me about that.
Yeah, so I started training this year, actually, but then the pandemic hit, so I had to kind of stop. But I actually go back in October for MCW Pro Wrestling, which is in Joppa, Maryland, which is kind of like a little outside of Baltimore for people that are in the U.S. It's the same place where people like Velveteen, Leo Rush, Mickey James was there at one point, the Hardy Boys at one point, Lita. They all train there. So I know by going to a school that has a very obvious Hall of Fame class, I guess, there's a good chance that you're going to do something well. Like even 205 Live star Tahuti Miles, I know a lot of people might not know who he is, but he's in WWE. He was at MCW. So there's a lot of people that go through that promotion that do very well for themselves. So that's what I'm trying to get myself out there for.
That's amazing, man. That's really cool. Yeah. I mean, it can't be hard in like the sort of pandemic times. I think you said as well, because you're in DC now, right? But are you originally from DC?
I'm originally from Virginia Beach, Virginia. So just kind of South Virginia. And I moved up to DC. I was about 13 and I just needed something to do because I didn't have a whole lot of friends. So that's when I just got on YouTube and everything kind of went from there.
Amazing, man. What was it like growing up in Virginia?
Pretty nice. I mean, I live by the beach, so, you know, you can go to the water anytime you feel like, and, you know, just chill. It was all pretty nice. Volleyball, women. So, it wasn't bad at all.
Lastly, what's the best show you've ever been to?
Best show. I'm going to say Ring of Honor. I've been to a lot of WrestleManias, and they're all a lot of fun. The experience is amazing. The experience for WrestleMania is probably better than the actual show most of the time. But Ring of Honor, best in the world. 2017, it was like Jay Lethal. No, it was like, I forgot the name of the show. It wasn't Best in the World. It was something else. But it was Jay Lethal versus Roderick Strong in an Iron Man match. It was so good. I did not know Ring of Honor was that lit until that moment. I was like, oh my God, both these guys, I'm buying all your shirts. I'm buying all the autographs. I love you. That show by itself, I can't say another match on the card, but that match made the show for me. So whatever that Ring of Honor show was, it was in Baltimore. That one, 2017. Look it up. You can probably find it somewhere.
Actually, last question before I let you go. What's your favorite wrestling action figure?
I'm going to like the one of Muscle Man Malcolm that they make one day by Mattel. this one. I don't know if this is a video or not, but it's a Blue Tisa figure. Batista in blue is just the most amazing thing in the world. And I absolutely love Batista, another DC guy.
Well, thank you so much again. Please do plug social media channels. Where can people find you?
YouTube.com/MuscleManMalcolm. I am the greatest wrestling YouTuber of all time. Most underrated. Make sure to come subscribe. It's amazing.
Thank you so much, man. There's all the links for that in the podcast description down below. So go and click that. He's a really, really good dude. Thank you so much for being on the show, man. I really, really appreciate it.
Thank you. I shot my shot and it sank. So I appreciate it.
Right. Well, thank you all so much for listening to the podcast. We'll be back tomorrow. Pete and Andy will be doing the SmackDown review. And then Ollie and I will be back for the Raw review on Tuesday. See really what is going to be next for Raw Underground. Thank you all so much for listening. Take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.